Morning. Today's daf anita is nun ches. We're nun zayin amud beis. We are starting today from the words tashma, towards the bottom of the amud. It's about a quarter of the way up from the bottom. The Gemara's discussion over here revolves around the statement of Shmuel. Shmuel taught us that if a woman has a discharge of blood but with no hagasha, with no physical sensation, so the woman's not a nida. Now this is the idea of ksamim, the eighth parak, which we're in the middle of right now. So you should say, really, we started it, but it's a very short parak, so we're in the middle. So the eighth parak of Masechta Nida deals with the topic of ksamim. A woman discovers a stain but does not feel the blood coming out of her. So Shmuel makes the assertion, we saw it yesterday, right after the Mishnah ended, that if a woman has a blood coming out of her but with no hargasha, so she's tahora. Now the words of Shmuel makes it sound like she's tahora lagamri. She's totally, there's no tumah whatsoever, not min haTorah, not min derabbanan. We're going to modify that in just a little bit. The Gemara is going to change exactly the intent of Shmuel, but at this point in time, kipshuta, what Shmuel means is that there's no tumah whatsoever. She's not a nida bichlal. What we did yesterday is we quoted three different mishnayos where it sounds like that even despite the fact that there was no hargasha, she's tumeah. And the Gemara said with all three of the braces that we quoted yesterday, there was a hargasha. It was just masked by another sensation. The woman was urinating, the woman did a bedika, the woman was having relations with her husband. There was some sort of action that occurred that masked the hargasha. And so that was the answer that we gave through all three questions yesterday. We're going to pick it up right where we left off yesterday with the words tashma. The Gemara starts off with now another proof, and that is Nimseis Ata Omer Gimel Sfeikos B'Isha. So there are three different types of sfeikos when it comes to a woman. Abisara, so if it's actually on her flesh, Safek Tami, Safek Tahor Tami. So on her flesh, where we don't know where the source of the blood came from, and so therefore it's a suffix, but we're going to be machmir. She's tamea. Al chaluka, if it's on her clothing, suffix tami, suffix tahor, tahor. So on her clothing, and we don't know where it comes from, we're going to be mekel. Uve magos vehesetos halach acharov. Now when it comes to maga, when it comes to heset, we're going to follow the rov. That last line of the brisa, slightly unclear what exactly that means. If you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi writes. I'm reading the Rashi. Inside. This last case over here is not talking about a woman in a kesem, says Rashi, but rather she is a suffik nida. This woman over here is totally irregular in terms of a schedule. And she, unfortunately, she sees all the time. Vinaga ohisita. And what happens now is that she touches something. And so now the possibility is that she is a nida. Again, she has no regular schedule. And she sees all the time. So she touches something or she moves something. Halach achar rov yameha. So here the rov is going to be the majority of her days. And Rashi writes, im rov yameha regila leros maga aviseta tame. Va'afag avda hashalo argeshe. So as long as, let's say, the majority of her days she is a nida, so we're here, we're going to follow the rov. And she didn't have a hargasha, but we're going to follow the rov over here. Okay, that is the braisa. Now, obviously, the whole point of the braisa is that she had a kesem, and she doesn't know where it came from. And if it's found on her skin, she's going to be tamea. And presumably, there was no hargasha. And all this is a difficulty on Shmuel. And we're going to ask that question. But before we ask that question, the Gemara just wants to tie up a couple of loose ends in the braisa. My halacha charov. So, what does it mean halacha charov? Lav im rov yameh tameim tameah v'afagav delo argusha. So the Gemara says, look at the end of the brisa. We don't know if she's a nida or not, and because she sees very often, and because she has no regularity, so therefore we're going to say that she's a nida, even though she didn't have argusha. And once again, Shmuel, how do you address the end of the brisa? So lo im rov yameh be argusha chazya tameah deima argusha v'lava daite. So the Gemara's response is very simple. No, she had a hargasha. Now, on this particular occasion, she didn't, because if she did, she knew she was tamea, and then there'd be nothing to talk about. It's not a suffix. But no, most of the time, she has a discharge, and it comes with a hargasha, and it just happens to be that this particular time, it came without a hargasha. And so what do we say? We follow Rove. And Rove, and most of the time, she's a nida. I'm Amara Basara Safik Tame Safik Tahor Tame, Achaluka Safik Tahor Safik Tame Tahor. Hechidame. So the Gemara says, now we're making a distinction with a stain found on her body versus a stain found on her clothing. Gemara says, I need more context. Because a stain found on her body, we said, we don't know, she's Tamea. A stain found on her clothing, we don't know, we say she's Tahora. What's the context over here? Why should there be a difference? So Hechidame, Imechagur Lamata, Achaluka Mai Tahor. So on the clothing, did we find it below the belt? Because we learned yesterday in the Mishnah, you find it below the belt, so she's tameya. So and the blood found on her body, if it's in an area where there's no line, remember yesterday we talked there had to be a line where the blood could have easily gone from the oso makom and landed on her leg, on the interior of her leg, on her foot, on her heel. But if it lands on another part of her body where it is not a direct line from the base of torfa, so then she's going to be tahora. So the brisa needs clarification. So ibaisim, the Gemara is going to give a couple of suggestions. Mechagur lamata, viibaisim mechagur lamala. Okay, so we can give a couple of suggestions on the brisa. We can go literally in either direction, meaning below the belt or above the belt. Ibaisim mechagur lamata, we're going to hear it described below the belt. Kigon shavar b'shuk shel tabachim. So the stain was found below the belt, but she was also walking, she went to the butcher. And there was blood everywhere. So abasara migufa asai di ima ama asai achaluka mi bai leish tekuche achaluka mi ama asai di imigufa asa abasara mi bai leish tekuche. So very good. So the Gemara explains that she was walking through the shukshot tabachim. If she discovers clothing, blood on her clothing, and it's even below the belt, okay. But at least now we have a very plausible explanation. It came from the butcher. The butcher's blood was splattering all over the place. It landed on her clothing below the belt, but fine. But if it lands on her body, and the stain is on her body but not on the clothing, so what is it doing there? Meaning, if it came in Alma, if it came externally, so we should also see evidence on the clothing. By virtue of the fact that there's only blood on her body and not on the clothing, that is a strong indication that it came from her, and it didn't come from an external source. Good. That's one way now to explain the Braisa, making a distinction of blood below the belt, her body versus her clothing. It's talking about a case where she's walking through a butcher. So, and as far as being above the belt, so we are talking now about a woman who is darka. She was doing gymnastics. I know. It's not exactly gymnastics, but in other words, for whatever reason, she went upside down. So, as far as on her basar, so that came from her. Because if it came from an external source, it should have first hit the clothing. And if it's on her clothing, so it came externally. Because if it came from her, so she should have discovered it also on her body as well. Okay, so various ways of explaining the braisa, making a distinction between finding the kesem on her clothing versus on her body. Okay, anyway, ketani miha. Now we're here. And so, al besara safik tamei safik tarot tamei, ve'afagav delar argashay. So the Braisa, and now we're here finally full circle, the Braisa said as just a clear assumption that if the blood is found on her body and we're not sure where it came from, meaning she didn't have a hargasha, she is Tameya. And so Shmuel, how do you handle that assumption of the Braisa? There was no hargasha. The Otsanan, and the Gemara says, before we answer, I'll also point out another thing. Haro kesem abasara keneged beis haTorfa Tameya. If a woman finds a kesem, that means a stain that came out with no sensation, and it's keneged beis haTorfa, and it's within the line of her canal, meaning it could have gone from her canal directly to that area of her body, she's going to be tameya. And again, tameya means that she's anida, and there was no hargasha over here. V'afagav delo hirgisha. All right, so we have now clear brisas and mishnah. That tell us that a woman that have found a stain with no hargasha is in fact tameya. Now all this comes back to Shmuel. What is Shmuel going to do with this? So I'm Rav Yirmiyah midifti mo de Shmuel shehi tameya midrabanan. Okay. So finally, now the Gemara is going to modify. The first modification of Shmuel's statement is that when Shmuel says that she's tahora, it means tahora min haTorah, but midrabanan she's going to be tameya. Now why is she going to be tameya midrabanan? So an important Rashi on the top of the Amud. Rashi writes midrabanan dilma argasha v'lava daite. The reason why the Chachamim made Gzeira is for the following. A woman only is anida when she has a bodily sensation. However, bodily sensation can occur both whether you are aware of it or even if you're unaware of it. Now, it's possible, and I'll add unlikely, but at least it's possible that a woman has a hargasha, but she was distracted. And her being that she was distracted at the time, she just didn't notice the hargasha. So it's true that a woman who does not have a hargasha and just has a discharge without a hargasha is not anida. But at the same time, however, because the human condition is such where we can get distracted, and it could be that there was a hargasha, and we just simply didn't notice it. So the Chachamim were goes there, and they said that even if without a hargasha, a woman is going to be tamei midrabbanan. That's Rashi's understanding of why. Rav Ashi Amar Shmuel Hida Amar Kareb Nechemya. Rav Ashi says, I'll tell you what, we can give a different approach. Meaning, look at the case that was given by Shmuel. Shmuel described a woman who sat on the ground, got up, blood was found on the ground. She didn't feel the sensation of the blood coming out of her body. And the ground was checked beforehand, so we know that the only source of that blood was her. But Shmuel says she's Tahora. It could very well be that the reason why Shmuel says she's Tahora has more to do with what the blood landed on, notably the ground. What makes the ground so special and unique? The ground is not Mekabel Tuma. And so since the ground is not Mekabel Tuma, so therefore she is not Tumea, because a Kesem, and this is going to be the opinion of Reb Nechemya, and the Gemara is going to align Shmuel with Reb Nechemya's viewpoint, a Kesem only makes a woman a Nida, only if it lands on something which is Mekabel Tuma. It has to be Kli, could be clothing, but it has to be something which is a finished product. If it lands on the ground is not Mekabel Tuma. And that's what's behind Shmuel's statement. And the Gemara now says, Rav Ashi Amar Shmuel Hu Da'amar Kareb Nechemya Dinan, Reb Nechemya Omer, Kol Davashen Mekabel Tuma and Mekabel Ksamim. Something which is not Mekabel Tuma, like the ground or any Kli that's not a finished product, any raw material. So there's no, if the Kesem lands on that, she is not going to be Tumeya. Bisham le Rav Ashi, Haini Dekamer Karka. Now, for Rav Ashi, actually, his pshat is fantastic, because that's the reason why he gave the example of Karka, meaning he, meaning Shmuel. So good, because he is looking for a scenario in which it's not Mekabel Tuma. Ella Rav Yirmiyah, my ear, Karka filu glima nami. But Rav Yirmiyah's answer, what is Rav Yirmiyah's answer? Shmuel was only operating on a Doraisa level. Midrabanan, she's Tumeya. The Tahora is only Midaraisa. Okay. And so, why then is Shmuel giving such a funny case? She sat on the ground, the blood's on the ground. Meaning, according to Rav Ashi, the case is, according to Rav Yirmiyah, the case could be where the blood lands on anything. Could land on her clothing, could land on her body. Meaning, his only point, is that she's Tahora Midda Araisa, but not Midda Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, Afilu Glimanami. So Lomi Baikamer. So the Gemara says, well, you're right. But Shmuel wanted to give us chiddush upon chiddush. Lomi by glima de lomivdek shapir ve'ikalem emer me'amasai. So look, if we're talking about clothing, at least we can construct an argument that clothing had a stain on it that preexisted. Okay, it's not a strong argument, but you could say that. But here, el afilu karka de mivdek shapir de'ikalem emer megufa asya tahor. But over here, when we're talking about karka, where the karka was checked before she sat on it, we know that there simply is no other source of the blood other than her. And even then, without a hargasha, min haTorah, she's Tahora. That's the point that Shmuel wanted to make. Okay. Adkan. So basically now, after finishing the first sugya of the eighth perek of Nida, so what we've come to learn is that in order for a woman to be a Nida min haTorah, she has to have a hargasha. But without a hargasha, the blood comes out. That's what's called the kasem. Shmuel says she's Tahora, but now, with a modified understanding of Shmuel, Shmuel just simply meant that she's Tahora min haTorah. Midrabbanan, she's still a Nida. Or another way to explain Shmuel is that Shmuel was just simply teaching us a halacha regarding Kesem. Kesem only makes a woman Tumea if it lands on something which is Mekabel Tuma. Gemara continues, Al Akeva Va'al Rosh Gadla Tumea. Okay, now, if blood is found on the heel or on her big toe, so she is Tumea. Now, again, remember, the rule is very simple. The rule is that there has to be a direct path, a direct line, where the blood went from her private area onto these body parts. In other words, if there was a stopover, in other words, there was no direct line, so then she is not, that's not a kesem that will make her tamea. So the Mishnah give actual illustrations of body parts in which she would be tamea. Now, Bishlam Akiva Avid Denagiba Osamakam. Now, as far as the heel is concerned, so with a little bit of flexibility, at least it's possible for the heel to touch the area. But Ella Rosh Godla Maitaima. But we're talking about the big toe. And, generally speaking, a woman's big toe is not going to be touching the area. Now, Vechitem is imminent Danagaba Akeva. So the Gemara has a couple suggestions. Now, you probably already figured out the solution. The solution is going to be, sorry for spoiling it, but the solution is going to be where basically she's walking and it just dripped out of that place and it landed on her toe. That's the solution. But right now the Gemara is contemplating a couple of other suggestions. Well, really one other suggestion. And that is that here's a way of explaining it. The blood went from the area to her heel, because the heel can touch the area. And then from one heel, it landed on the other toe. Meaning as she's walking, she scraped the toe against her heel. And so it went from the area to the heel to the toe. To which the Gemara says, no, you can't say that. Meaning as far as Tumah is concerned, there's no stopovers in Tumah. Tumah has to be direct from the source to the area in which we located the blood. We don't do that about Tanya. We learned in a Brisa Haisa La Maka B'Tzavara. She took a litlos tola. Let's say she has a wound on her neck, and it's possible for the wound on her neck to drip down and hit the clothing, even though it hit the clothing below the belt. We'll be tola. We'll say that we'll do attribution. The blood on her clothing came from the wound in her neck. You see the wound in her neck, and it's possible for it to go from the neck down to the clothing. However, if it's on the shoulder, no, because it's not going to drip from the shoulder onto her clothing. It'll go from the shoulder and hit her hand, from the hand to the clothing. But we don't do that. We don't say that. So v'yein omrim, and the Gemara spells this point out. V'yein omrim shema b'yada nitalaso ve'aviyasa l'sham. And that's not. And when we don't say that the blood goes from the shoulder to the hand and from the hand to the clothing, so elashani rosh go lad debahadi depasa avid demisrame. So the Gemara gives the answer, which I spoiled already, but the Gemara says, okay, but here it is direct. Because in our scenario where the blood is found on her big toe, it's possible that as she's walking, the blood dripped out from the area, from a private area, and landed right on her big toe. So it is a direct line. The Gemara persists on this point. Really, we don't say this? That tumah goes from one place to another place? That Tanya will consider the following. Blood is discovered on the back of her hand. And Rashi points out, we're talking even where she did a bedika. But she's doing a bedika with her fingers. And blood is discovered on the back of her hand, and she's Tamea. And how did the blood get there? And the Gemara right now is assuming, well, not directly, it must be that it was on her fingers, and then from the fingers it went to the back of her hand. And in fact, if you read the Braisa, which we just did, it seems to be the Pshan, the Braisa, Mimneshi Adayim Askaniosain. Well, your hands are very busy. So my time alamishum darmina badka bechad yada v'naga be'idachada, and the Gemara says, I'll tell you what I think pshat in the brisa is. She did a bedika with one hand, and then with that one hand that she did bedika, she touched her other hand, and that's how the blood got to the back of her hand. But if that's true, what are we saying?
Indirect.
We're saying indirect, and we're saying that she's going to be tamea. So lo shani yada dekula avida denaga. So the Gemara says no. The Gemara says that it's possible that it went directly from the area onto the hand. Even the back of the hand. Yes, I know that generally she does a bedika with her fingers, not with the back of her hand. But the Gemara says, but hands are busy. And so it's possible that this is now a direct path from the area onto the back of her hand. Okay, so the Gemara now wants to know, look, we broke up the leg into four quadrants. If blood is found on the outside of the leg or on the front of the back, so we said that area, those are areas where it didn't directly come from her osa makom, and therefore we could say that she's tahora. If it comes in the interior, so she's tamea. That's what we learned in the Mishnah. The Gemara now discusses this point. Mibifnim ad heicha. So I'm debei Rav Yana ad makom chavak. So up to the makom chavak. You see Rashi over here. Rashi tries to take us through what exactly the makom chavak is. It sounds like we're talking about the hamstring area. Sounds that way. So, now, if the blood is on the actual hamstring itself, so, is that considered an interior area, an external area? The chevek itself is like the lifnim, sounds like the hamstring is like the interior area. Excuse me. Rav Chia Berei de Rav Avia learns it directly, meaning not as a Q&A, but just simply as a statement. That the blood is found on the interior of her thigh or on the hamstring, it's considered like the interior, and therefore she is going to be tahora. By Rav Yirmiyah. Rav Yirmiyah now is going to ask a series of questions. Now, generally speaking, right, again, this is all forensics. Generally speaking, if blood is found on the interior of her thigh, so she's tamea. But even as we say that, so you understand that the way gravity works and the way she's just dripping out of her, so the likelihood is that the stain would appear in a certain, it would present itself in a certain manner. meaning basically as a shmir going in a vertical line, right? It normally wouldn't make, it wouldn't make circles. It wouldn't be a horizontal line. And so what Yirmiyahu basically wants to know, he's going to give a couple of examples, is let's say the blood is discovered on an area, let's on an interior area, but it doesn't present itself as if it came from the Oso HaMakom and it dripped down. But it presents itself a little bit funny. And so in these circumstances, can we now say that forensically, at least we have evidence to suggest that it didn't come from her? Can we say that?
By
okay, fine. Yeah. I'm telling you, it's all forensics. Meaning, it's all a question of can we make an argument? Can this be a plausible way? I'm sorry, a plausible way of presenting this as a presentation. So, by Rav Yirmiyah, kishir mahu. What if it looks like a necklace? Meaning circular. Kishir mahu. What if it's a? What if it's a line? Tipin mahu. What if it's kind of like drips that drops down the leg? Lerochev yirecha mahu. What if instead of a vertical line, it's a horizontal line? So again, all these questions are awkward presentations of the blood. Doesn't seem like it came from her, but on the other hand, however, they're found on the interior. So tashma al besara safik tara tamei. So we go back to the brisa. We saw the brisa at the beginning of this morning. The brisa described where it's on her flesh. We're not sure where it came from. She is tamei. And now al-Bisara, my love ki agavna. So the Gemara now is saying, look, when it says al-Bisara, could it not be in any of these unusual presentations that we just gave? So lo doma da avi kiritsua. The Gemara says, not necessarily. Al-Bisara could be understood to mean simply that it came in the classic presentation, where it was basically a line running down the interior of her leg. That's what the Brisa was describing. Okay. Ha'isa sadi shakach ladama. So there was a woman who saw blood, and it was found on her loom. She was weaving, and it was found on the Rashi describes it as being the shesi. Okay, right, there's the, I don't know which one's which, I never remember. There's a warp, there's a woof. Anyway, shesi is the vertical. Let's keep it simple. She found it on the loom. And now she wants to know, is it possible that it came from her? Now remember the rule. The rule is that it has to be a direct line going from her to the item. Now it's interesting over here, the item is a loom. Is it mekabel tuma? It has to, because we just learned, like all of the, you know, all of 10 minutes ago, that the only way that a woman is a nida is if the kesem landed on something which is makabel tuma. Okay. But anyway.
She's probably sitting down when she's operating. Actually, the way it's described in 25 is that she's standing.
Okay. Good. Good. Right. In terms of the actual crime scene, so it'd be better if we were all there. Anyway. So, asla kamad raviana amar la teza vatesi. So Rav Yana says, so here's what I'd like you to do. So I'd like you to recreate the scene, meaning do what you just did and let me see if it's possible. Because in other words, again, the only way that she's going to be Tamea is if there's a direct line that it went directly from her private area, onto the loom. And so recreate the scene. And the Gemara says, wait one second, recreate the scene. You know, we discussed this in the beginning of the Masechta, going all the way back to Daf Hamad Beis. The Gemara over there had a discussion. Right, remember, they wrapped himself up in the talus, and the question was it possible that he touched the item while wrapping himself up? And the Gemara over there suggested, well, let's recreate the scene, and let's see whether it happens or not. To which the Gemara says, wait one second, remember what we said back on Daf Hey? We're repeating it right now. V'atanya ain't shown him b'taharos. You don't do that. You don't recreate a scene. I mean, you could try to, but it's not going to be revelatory. Because it could very well be that you're trying to recreate the scene, but you're not going to go about it in the same manner in which it was originally done. So the Gemara says, okay, Kiamrin ain't shown him lakula, v'alachum are shown him. So the Gemara says, well, look, over here, we want to know whether there's a chance that she's a nida. Obviously, that's a chumra. Earlier in the Masech, we were talking about a kula. So vis-a-vis a kula, we're not going to recreate a scene. But over here, to establish at least a possibility that the dam went from her onto the loom, so for that, we're going to be machmer. And the Gemara seems to suggest that you would be machmir if by recreating the scene. I'm sorry, we would recreate the scene if it's going to be, it's going to lead to a chumrah. Haisa poshtasa. Tanya, we are towards the bottom of the Amud, Anun Chesamud Aleph. Amr Abelazib Rab Yossi, Davazeh, Horesi Bi Irom Il Isur. I paskin in this manner. To be machmir, right? Before I start with the Gemara, go back to the Mishnah. This is towards the end of the Mishnah on yesterday's daf. The Mishnah Haisa Poshtaso Miskasa Bo Balaila. She took off her clothing, and then she used the clothing as like basically bed sheets. So there, because she's not wearing the clothing, we're not going to make any distinction between above the belt and below the belt. Okay, that's what we learned yesterday in the Mishnah. On that. Now, I'll start the Braisa, Tanya. Amar Velaz Rav Yossi, Davazeh, Reisi B'Yeromi, Li Isur. So, in the city of Rome, so there, a case came, and I was Machmir. Ukishabat Yetzel Chacham Mishabadarim, Amar Li Yafa HaReisa. And then I went to the rabbis in the south, and they gave me a pat in the back, and they said, Yeshar Koach. That's correct. Tana Rabbanan. Arucha Shalav Shal Chalukah Shal Kitzar, V'Kitzar Shalav Shal Chalukah Shal Arucha. Okay, funny scenario. Two women, one short, the other's tall. And they're lending their garment from one to another. Right? It's a simple robe. So now, above the belt and below the belt are not the same for these two women. And so now, they have lent the clothing to one another. And then after each one of them has worn it, so we found a stain. So it's now a simple question of, was it above the belt and below the belt? And being that one's tall, the other's short, it's not, this answer is not going to be the same for both of them. So, imagia keneged beis ator fashal aruchah shteim temeaz v'im lav aruchah taro katsara temea. And over here, the ruling is pretty straightforward. And that is, well, look where the blood is on the robe. And now, if it's below the belt for both women, so both women are tahara. But if it's only below the belt for the shorter woman, but not for the taller woman, so then only the shorter woman's going to be tameya, and the taller woman's not. Tanya Idach, the Gemara teaches us another braisa. Batka chaluka v'yishilta lechaverta. Hitar v'chaverta tolaba. Interesting halacha. One woman lends her clothing out to another woman, but before doing so, she does a bidika on the article of clothing. It was clean. The woman comes back with the clothing, and there is now a stain on the clothing. So who is attributed to have issued the stain? Now, the first woman obviously is going to argue, well, I did a bidika before I gave it to you. And the second woman is going to argue, yeah, but it's your article of clothing. And aside from the question of Nida, there's also another question.
The second was in possession, even though it's hers.
Okay. And there's a second question, which of course is a monetary issue. Right? You borrowed my garment, and now it's dirty. You need to pay for the dry clean. Okay, so, and I know it's funny, but it's true. Meaning, so really there are now in this issue two halachic discussions to be had. One is a halachic question of which woman is a Nida, and the other question is, who is financially responsible to clean the clothing? And so the Braisa over here makes the following statement. So again, I'm going to read the Braisa from the beginning. Batka chaluka. So bedika was done on the garment. Vishilta chaverta, lent it to her friend. Hitar v'chaverta tolaba. So she is tahora. Now presumably the she means the original woman who did the bedika. And as far as her friend is concerned, her friend can blame, the woman who borrowed it can blame the woman who owned it. Now, right. Huh? How? So Amr of Sheshes Linyan Dina Tanan. So Rav Sheshes says the Braisa over here was just talking about the financial liability. The financial liability, financial responsibility to clean the garment, so the woman who borrowed it can pass the buck over to the first woman. Now, it's kind of hard to understand that. In other words, Rav Sheshes is limiting the Braisa. That part we get. But if the first woman did a bedika, so then how can the second woman say, yeah, you know what, stain wasn't me. And it gets even more confounding because watch Rav Sheshes move on to his next point. Mm-hmm. Now, as far as who's Anida, the first woman's not Anida because she did a bedika. She knows that it's not hers. So the woman who borrowed it, she's going to be Anida. Okay, now. On one hand, you totally understand Rav Sheshes. The first woman's not in Nida because she did a bedika before she lent it out. And so who else can the second woman blame?
The assumption is that the owner didn't wear it after she examined it.
Yes.
Just examined it and handed over to the borrower.
Correct. Correct. That seems to be the pshat in the Gemara. Now, if that's true, so then the dry clean bill then is really difficult to understand. The dry clean bill, so let's be consistent. Let's say if the second woman's going to be a nida, so then isn't it clear then that she should be responsible for the dry clean bill? Okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but it goes back into her motzi min
herabbanan. Perfect. Okay, perfect. Okay, excellent. 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 And so what you'll have to say, and you can see the Bamtosis over here who discusses this point, what you're going to have to say is that there are different thresholds in terms of obligations to become a nida versus a monetary obligation, right? And you have to say that, although, to clearly articulate why that should be, I understand we have principles of motzi min chaver olav raya, but over here the raya would be, I checked it before I gave it to you.
Isn't chazaka stronger than
Hamotzi? Okay, right. It's difficult to understand, but you have to say something along those lines.
Huh?
Right. Okay. Right. Okay. Okay. Maishna behadetanya. The Gemara wants to know, how is it different than the following? We're on the top of the Amud Beis. And Braisa teaches us the following. So you have two women working with a very small bird. The small bird, even if we extracted all the blood from this bird, which they're going to do, but you're only going to get maximum one sella's worth of blood. Okay, that is the assumption. Now, with that, here's what happened. Venimsa kisela alzu v'kisela alzu, shtem tomatoes. And then what ends up happening is that there was blood found on both women after they worked with the bird, and each woman has a full cellar's worth of blood on them. Now, even if we're going to attribute to the bird only can be attributed towards one cellar's worth of blood. And meanwhile, we have a full extra cellar on one of these women. So now, again, here's the most logical explanation. One of the women were Nida, and she herself produced the blood, meaning the blood was generated by her. We don't know which one did, so this is a case of a suffix. It's suffix tumma, and so the Brisa says, shtei hem tumeos.
Right.
They're both going to be tummy. Fine.
But
the Gemara doesn't enter that That's into the discussion. Right. I agree with you. It's a suffix on a din de rabbanan because it's only a kesem.
Right.
It's a great point. It's a great point. Okay. Let me think about it. Okay, so and the Gemara wants to know, wait one second. How is it different than the case of the women borrowing the clothing one from the other? And you probably already figured it out. And the Gemara spells it out. Shani Hasam Dika Sela Yesera. The Gemara says, look, in our case over here, there's an extra seller that is unaccounted for. And so somebody had to have produced that extra seller. And one of the women did. We don't know which one it is. It's a suffix, so we're going to be machmir. In the previous case, in other words, two women wore the clothing. The first woman says, I checked it before I gave it to you. So over here, a really plausible explanation, and probably the correct one, is that the dam nida was produced by the woman who borrowed the clothing and not the owner of the clothing. The cases are different.
You could also argue that if the blood stain was fresh and one clothing touched the other clothing, you could transfer and
right.
the same stain
right.
pretty much.
Right. The Gemara says that transference is something we don't particularly like to argue, but yes, yes. The
it's a function of how long it was sat on the cloth before they
right.
touched
it. Right, right, right. Tana Rabbanan finishing up the Gemara over here. La shoshosha chalukas habedukos la. The a woman's wearing layers, three layers of clothing. So imichol litlos tola vafila betachton. And so an interesting kula. And that is that if she could be tola, if she can attribute the blood to an external source, she may do so, even if it's found on the most interior of the layers. And if she has nothing she can attribute it to, so even if the blood is found on the most external of the layers, so it's below the belt, she's tamea. And here, the Gemara spells it out. If let's say she walks through the butcher. Now, when she walks through the butcher, so blood splattering everywhere, and so therefore she could be tola. Right? We said it now. We're going to say it again in just a moment. So good. So, and then she could even be tola on the most interior of the layers. However, she didn't walk through the butcher, and the blood's found below the belt, and even though, this part's strange, and even though it's only found on the most external layer, but not on the most internal, but she has nothing else to blame it on, and therefore it came from her. Okay, and I understand. That's difficult because, obviously, if it came internally from her, So then it should have gone through layers number 1 and 2. Okay. Tosos on yesterday's daf. Turn back to Tosos yesterday. Nun Zayin Amud Beis. So what did we learn yesterday? That if the blood is found al basara vade megufa asai. Second to last Tosos on the Amud. And he writes, v'im tomer maishan delakamim b'shmaitin gaba isha shalosha, I'm sorry, lavsha shalosha chalukas v'avra b'shuk shal tabachim. Tola v'afila b'tachtam v'lo armin an isa d'me'alma asai elyon. So Tosa says, I see a problem between what we just learned and what we learned in yesterday's daf. We learned in yesterday's daf is that if blood is found al basara on her skin, on her body, and we don't know where it came from, so we're going to be tameh. How is that any different than finding blood on the interior layer that she wore? Three layers, one on top of another, on top of another. And she finds blood on the most interior layer, and we just learned that we're going to be makel. And mean, and we don't say, and the argument is that, well, if it came from her, it'd be on her body. And meanwhile, in yesterday's daf, we said, well, if it's on her skin, so she's always going to be tameya, because obviously it came internally and not externally. What's the difference? And hava leli shukuchevi yeshlamar da hasam lapamim she megala chaluka alyon va'asay la tachton aval ein derech legaos pesara. That's the Tosa says like this, that when we're talking about a woman wearing layers, so it's very possible that a woman will pick up one of the layers knowing that there's another layer underneath that, or even the second layer knowing there's another layer underneath that. Meaning now we have a wonderful explanation of why the blood is found on the interior but not on the exterior. But what a woman will not do, says Tosfos, is a woman will not expose herself to the. A woman will not expose herself where her body's going to show. And so, if it's found on her body, so the likelihood is that it came from the outside is really unlikely because a woman would not expose herself. So Tosfos says that's the difference between finding something on the most interior layer, which we're makel, versus finding on her body, which we're going to be machmir. Okay. We are up to the Mishnah on Nun Ches Amud Beis. And now the Mishnah over here is going to teach us the halachas of tliya. What can she blame a stain on? So the Mishnah starts off. So over here, so basically, we're going to be extraordinarily lenient in terms of being tola. Shachta behem achay va'of nisaska b'ksamim oshi yavsha b'tzad ha'asukin bahen. So various circumstances. She was shechting an animal, a bird. She was dealing with ksamim. She was sitting next to somebody dealing with ksamim.
Women can do shechita?
Yeah. It's one of the first discussions in Yerodeo, right? One of the very first discussions.
What's the question?
Can a woman do shechita? Oh. Yeah, there is no, right? It's not the practice. And it's either the shach or the taz in the very beginning. I forget. Okay, it's been a long time. And he says, lo ra'ino ein araya. So one of the arguments he makes is, look, just because we don't see it, that's not a proof. Meaning, women do it. Women can do it. It just happens to be that women don't do it. Okay. Anyway, so b'ksamim moshiyashu b'tzadah sukim behem hargam acholas hariza tola behem. Or let's say there was a bug and she killed the bug, and now blood was discovered. So hariza tola. So in all these scenarios, she could be tola. Ad kama tola. Now, up until what point in time can she be tola? Rabbi Chanim and Tignas Omer ad kigrishel pol. So the size of a bean, okay, which we already described, an area about the size of a penny. Afa pishlo harga. Now, according to Rabbi Chanim and Atignas, actually, he's being more lenient. Meaning, he's saying that I can make an argument that there's always going to be a chance that there was some sort of louse in that area. And as long as the stain is below the size of a gris, or I should say better, a gris or below, so then we could be tola, even though she didn't actually kill a bug. And that obviously represents a much more lenient position. V'tola b'vnal b'bala, im yesh b'maka. And also, let's say she can attribute the blood to her son or to her husband, assuming they have a wound. V'hi yechola lihi galea ulahotzi dam, harizet tola. Now, let's say she has a wound with a scab, but she could pick at the scab. Right? I know you shouldn't. But she picked at the scab and she opened up the wound again. She could be told on that as well. So there's an incident. A woman went to Rabbi Kiva, said that she saw a kesem. So Rabbi Kiva says, do you have a wound? So Amr lo hain. Her response is yes. V'chaisa, but the wound healed. Amar la Hashem yichol lehigalei lahotzi dam. So, okay, but could you pick at the scab? Can you open up the wound again? So Amar lahin, she said yes. V'tahara Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva says, okay, tahara. He paskent. Ra tamid of mistaklin zebezeh. Now, this was a controversial psak, and the students got very excited about it. They're looking at one another. They're talking about it. So Amar lahin, ma'adav akasha beinechem. Rabbi Akiva says, this is not a big deal. This is not a controversial psak. Shalo amru chachamim adav lahachmer ela lahakil. Over here, we're talking about a kesem. And we'll go back to what we learned earlier this morning. It's a din derabanan. I'm going to be mekel. Shenem ravisha kisi azav adam yezova bifsara. Dam velo kesem. A woman is only an edom and a tara when it's dam. Not a kesem. It's a kesem. It's a stain. There was no hagasha. And I'm going to be mekel. Interesting, by the way, Shmuel had a drasha that he learned yesterday. He taught us yesterday. And meanwhile, Rabbi Kiva also has a drasha. It sounds like we have two drushas to teach us the same point. Aid shunasan tachasakar. Let's finish the Mishnah. If the aid is under the pillow, v'nimsa alav dam agul tara mashuch tamei divrei Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok. So this is a cloth that she did in an examination. Now, as we said already, we quoted this Mishnah before. If the blood comes out in a shmir, so then it sounds like she is that. Not sounds like. Then she's tameya, because obviously what happened was is that there was blood in the canal, and obviously by the pressure, it came out in a shmir. But let's say the blood was on the cloth, but in a nice, neat circle. Did it come from her? And the likelihood is, no, it didn't. Because she used it with pressure inside of her, and it wouldn't come out looking like a nice, neat circle, and therefore she'd be tahara. Now, it's an interesting kula, because it's not a kesem where she just discovered it on her clothing. It was an internal examination that was done with this cloth. So it is certainly a very interesting kula. We'll talk more about it in the upcoming Gemara.